Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Africa, Peru, Pakistan, Australia,
Singapore, and now we got Iraq on board. So, baby, 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 somebody must like what we're talking about because they join us each and every week. So tonight's guest is going to be this young man named Michael. He is the president and CEO of his own company that help others bring their ideas and invention to light. So, okay, you know, on Unmasked, we talk about everything. So tonight, get your pen and pencil and paper out. Take some notes because if you want to know how much it costs or what it don't do or what it does, and whether it's a good idea or not, this is a guy to talk to. Write down information. So we're going to kick it as long as he got some information to share. So without further ado, hello, Michael.
Well, hello, Terry. How are you this evening?
I'm great. I'm wonderful. Praise God.
Hey.
So tell us a little bit about yourself before you jumped into the field of inventions and stuff like that, because I'm sure everybody growing up always thought they had a good idea for something. But you know something? I wish my behind had invented the Depends, man, adult Pampers. Damn it, I would be paid today. You know, so you see all these babies running around these messy Pampers on and stuff, and I do know that we get old, but, man, why didn't my stupid behind say, let's get some adult panties, make them a little bigger. Man, I would be cooking with grease today. But I didn't invent it, and, oh, well, that one went right past me.
Well, let me tell you, Terry, I know that that's thousands and thousands of people are doing the same thing. But before they even decide to do anything, we are an organization that can help them save a lot of money, time, and effort. But just to give you a little bit of background of myself, my career has always been in the human resources field, helping people, solving problems. And I decided a few years ago, to be exact, in 2009, I had an idea that would solve a problem. And my idea is basically for men. Now, this product...
Excuse me, Mike. Can I stop you briefly, darling? Do you have your mic on speaker? Because I'm hearing some background interference.
Oh, okay. Well, let me take it off then.
Yes, because that messes up the feedback. This mic is very sensitive, and I want everybody to hear what you got to say.
Okay. Is that any better?
Yes, a whole lot better.
Okay. Yeah, because I was saying that my product is for men only, and I had an idea that would solve a problem. This goes back to 2009. And in deciding on what I needed to do, because my problem was a problem that many men, usually over the age of 35 and 40 on up, usually suffer from a problem that involves the prostate. Now,
oh, really?
With that particular problem, you know, men have to go to the bathroom several times a night. And my experience is that when I get up and go to the bathroom, number one, as you know, we turn the light on, we get out of bed, we make noise, flush, and everything else. And next thing you know, the spouse has woken up, and I jump back into bed, and here it is. I'm sleeping. Now my spouse is wide awake. So I want to have some consideration.
Don't forget that part. And she's grumpy as hell. How dare you get up in the middle of the night, make all that noise, to get back and try to go sleep, and I'm wide awake. But I'm just saying, okay?
Well, let me tell you, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. In the morning when everybody gets up, I have to hear it. And I sympathize because I know how it is to, you know, not get enough sleep and having to go to work and get tired at work. So it's not a good feeling. So I decided, I said, look, there's got to be a product out there that can solve this problem. So the main thing I did was I did some research, and I couldn't find any problem like that. So my assumption was, okay, well, I got the one and only invention in the world that will solve this problem. So without any other help, did everything on my own, I went and decided, well, look, I know what my product looks like. I know the parts that are involved. Let me find out where I can get my parts. So someone told me, oh, well, why don't you go over to China and see what you can get from China? So me not knowing anything, I decided, okay. Well, I went online, found an organization in China that provides parts for companies around the world. So when I contacted them, they told me that, okay, well, we can send you a sample. But we don't, and this is by email now. So we don't take phone calls because phone calls are too expensive overseas. We don't take credit cards. So I says, well, what do you take? And they says, well, Western Union. I said, okay, I never did Western Union before. So I went to Western Union, and I forgot that you had to pay to send money overseas. So
yeah.
I did. Then I didn't realize that when you deal with overseas companies, the products have to go through customs. And I didn't know that. So I figured, okay, maybe a week, 2 weeks maximum. But lo and behold, I understood that it took over 30 days before I was able to get a sample of my product. And then when I finally got it, it was very poor quality. I said, this is not going to work. So then I decided to look for companies here in the States, and I was able to find two companies that provided the parts for my product. But during all this time, I still didn't know much about patents or anything else like that. So I was able to find an organization that's been around for quite a while in upstate, well, not upstate, but in the Atlanta area, outside of Atlanta. So I joined that organization. I spent about a year and a half. But the problem with that was I had to travel 2 hours going and 2 hours back. And I did that for a year and a half. So I learned a lot, but I decided, I said, look, there's got to be people here in my local area that have the same interest as I do, trying to solve a problem with a product. So in 2010, I started the organization as a nonprofit, and we've been in existence now since 2010. So this year is our 6th year being in business.
Well, congratulations, but let me go back a little bit, because first you said this is dealing with men who has prostate problems. Okay, you know, I know all about my body because I'm a female, and I ain't going to tell no lie. I don't know all about y'all's. All I know is that when you talk about prostate, you're talking about way back there when the doctor bends you over, and inspection is not that pleasant. But for people who really don't know, I want you first to clear up that issue so they know. And what was the product? Because we never said what the product was going to do. You just said you got up in the middle of the night stumbling around, made noise, they had to go to the bathroom. So is this a product that's going to help you catch your urine so you can stay in bed? I mean, what is the product, not the parts for the product?
Right. The product is called Bathroom Eliminator, and it's being sold on our organization's website. And what it does is it captures the urine in a container. Now, what's so unique about this is the fact that you can be laying in bed, and you can use this product while you're laying in bed, and it works. So this way you don't have to get out of bed and make a lot of noise, turn on the light. This product can also be tied to a bed frame. It can be tied or hooked to a dresser or bedstand. And the people that are using the product are, for example, airplane pilots. A lot of those planes do not have bathrooms, so they're using it. We have long-haul truck drivers who are currently using a soda can. But with my product, they can put it right in their truck because, as you know, when they travel, there's no bathroom around. If it's late at night, they may not want to get out of the truck and pull over on the side. So what they do is they use the product while they're in the truck so they don't have to get out.
But, darling mother, how you have you pump your brakes right there? Because, first of all, I used to be a tractor trailer instructor myself, and I went to Walmart, and I got me a portable toilet and a bungee cord and hooked it to my bottom bunk. So, you know, these guys who pissing in bottles and throwing it over the, out on the highway looking like it's tea, they just trifling. But, you know, first of all, but when you said you're going to hook it to the side of the bed, the first thing that came to my mind is, like, when you're in the hospital, it's like a bag that when you catheterize to get your urine and measure it. Is that the same kind of principle as something you got to stick in the hole of your penis and, you know, and hopefully it catch everything?
No, it's not like that. It's nothing about being catheterized or anything like that. What it is a container that has a flexible tubing on the end where you place your penis inside, and when you're done, you just collapse the tubing because the liquid goes into the container so that in the morning when you get up, all you do is pour it out, wash it out with soap and water, and you're back in business again. So it's a very simple and easy device, very inexpensive device, that you can use, because a lot of the CNAs, the nursing assistants that go into homes, they use that with for their patients. And I found out that people who are overweight or obese have a problem getting up out of their chair to go to the bathroom, so they can sit right there on the couch and take care of their business right there. So a lot of these individuals are easy to use this product because it's very convenient. It's being able to clean with simple soap and water, and there's no sticking it into your skin, into your penis, or anything like that, because it's a tubing on the end, and it's collapsible so that you can pull it towards you, and you can push it down, and it's very compact because there's a hook to hook the tubing. And it comes in a little bag that holds the container, which you can either strap or you can either use a hook. All that's provided so that you can hook it to a wheelchair or anything that's convenient for you that's nearby.
Okay, well, you know, when they make anything, sometimes there are some problems until you figure them out. Now, I'm not saying this particular invention has a problem, but let me just say this. When the guy hypothetically got this thing on and his lazy behind say, okay, I can just lay here. I ain't got to get up and do none of that. Can he turn around and be trying to adjust himself in bed and that thing slip off and he wets the bed and piss all over his wife? Is that going to happen?
No, because what you can do or what people do and even what I do is that, you know, obviously when a male finishes urine, he stands there and just makes sure there's nothing else that comes out. So this is the same system where you have the tube, your penis is in the tube, you urinate in the tube, the liquid flows into the container, and then what you do there, just lay there until you finish with your urine, and then pull the penis out, and then hook the product onto its hook, and then you're done, and you go back to sleep. So there's nothing tricky or magical about it. It's a very simple operation, and it comes with instructions too, by the way.
All right, now I like that. Now, for everyone who is listening, if you would like to call in and talk to Michael, dial 347-945-6003 and hit the one key, because once you hit the one key, it lets me know you have a comment or a question. If you do not hit the one key, I will not open up your mic. So we're going to take a small break, and we're going to come back with Michael's invention, and he's going to talk about some other adventures and help you figure out what you need to do if you want to get that dream of yours into reality. So we'll be back in two and two, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been there. Yeah. I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day.
No! No! Who is it? Why is he in my house?
Who
are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
What is, why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
think of younger days when I lived for my life. Was everything a man could want to do. Could never see tomorrow. I was never told about the sorrow. Rain falls down. Tell me, how can you stop? Oh, sunshine, what makes the world go round? Yeah. How can a loser ever win? Somebody help me.
My broken heart,
and let me live again. Still feel the breeze that rustles through the tree, and misty memories of days gone by. But we could never see tomorrow. Would you believe that no one, no one ever told us about the sorrow? So how can we make a broken heart and mine is? How can you stop the rain from falling down? That old sun shining, what makes the world go round? And sometimes I have to say, my broken heart.
Welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And I want to thank all my friends from north to south, east to west, and all my global listeners for tuning in. I appreciate that. And I'd like to give a shout-out to one of my friends, Cheryl Franks. She's going to be on the show next week, and she's going to share her story about domestic abuse and being in an alcoholic environment. So for ladies who have gone through that and men who need to stop the behavior, you need to tune in next week because we're going to bring it down to your level so you can understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, tonight's show, we have Michael Turner on here, and he is from the Columbus Phoenix City Inventors Association. And this man, he got his own invention out for the guys who's dealing with prostate issues. And one of the problems with that is that is urination, and sometimes the urine burns when it comes out or don't be enough output. But you know something? You got to keep going back and forth and waking up your wife and everybody else. And some of y'all wives make y'all get in another bedroom to sleep because they ain't feeling that because they have to work 2 in the morning. Am I right, Michael?
You got that right. Absolutely. They have to get up, go to the bathroom. And not only that, though, even during the day, several times you got to go to the bathroom. And unfortunately, if you're at work or places like that, it gets to be a pain in the bother. So the one thing I just want to say to men, get yourself checked out, definitely, because if you don't, it could result in cancer. And I know that's not what men want or anybody wants, but get that checked out.
Well, how early in a male's life do they usually have prostate issues? Is it like between 40 and something, or is it earlier than that? Because I don't know.
Well, it's about 40 years on up is when they say that men should go and get tested. And, you know, when you get tested, I know men don't like the finger back there, but you got to get it done.
Some of y'all do.
That's right. That finger is something else. But, hey, it's got to be done. The worst thing you want to know is to find out you got cancer, and you should have checked into it a long time ago. So, you know, it's important to do that. But the kind of suffering that men go through, unfortunately, is either prostate cancer or enlarged prostate or frequent urination. Whatever the case is, you still got to go to the bathroom 3 or 4 times a night. And we want to help men do that so that they don't wake up the spouse and make it inconvenient for everybody else who's trying to go to sleep.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned that sometime when you're at work, you got a frequency of going. Have you ever told a lie, well, I have high blood pressure, I take Lasix or fluid pills because of my pressure to justify not saying, man, I got some problems back there?
No, well, they shouldn't do that because I guess what they're afraid of is they're afraid to get that finger. It comes down to a man don't like
right.
it. But they got to get it done, unfortunately, if they're really serious about their health.
Yeah, because you know how sometimes job environments, people get mad when you leave in your work spot often because they thinking that you're goofing off or you ain't trying to work or leave the hard work on them. But, you know, some that's real talk because, like you said, prostate, you know, I have high blood pressure, and one of the medicines I take is Lasix, and it's trying to keep the fluid off so I don't go into congestive heart failure. So I understand you hate it because, for me, the first 2 hours after taking that pill, man, it's like every 2 seconds I got to pee. So.
Well, let me tell you something. We've been trying to work on one for you ladies. But, hey, we've been having a problem. Hasn't been working yet, but we're still going at it because I know that ladies have some issues with urination as well. So we're not going to forget trying to help the women.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if you can figure out something that will catch the urine and vibrate at the same time, it's going to be a winner. Hello.
Hey, I know that for sure. That's why we're working on it. We're working on it. We're all about helping and solving problems. And at the end result, that's what we're trying to do.
Help. Michael, have your invention been on the market? And what's the price range so people know? And how can they find that item?
Well, it's been on the market since 2010 when I finally got it together. I got my patent on it, and it's been out there since 2010. It's on our website. It's www.cpcinventorsassociation.org, and they can purchase it there.
Okay, and what's the price range?
Right now it's $49, and it's shipping is $5, so we're talking $54.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very inexpensive. I mean, we ship it to you in a discreet box. It's got instructions in there how to work it. It's also got instructions on how to clean it, which is basically soap and water. And when it's used at night, once you drain it out and wash it, then you take the cap off and just let it air dry, and then you're ready to go for the next night. So, again,
yeah.
it's very,
than,
very
good. You know, other than being on your website, is there anywhere else, like a medical supply store, where else can they find that? Because that sounds like something that would be great, you know, for a lot of guys.
Well, it's only available on our website, and I'm going to tell you why. We tried to get it through Medicare so that we can get it into all the medical supply stores.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, we found out that it takes thousands, over $10,000, just to get an approval for the Medicaid to allow us to put it into the stores. So what we tried to do is we just went to a couple of the local supply stores here in town, and we asked them, hey, can we just put this on your shelf and sell it? He says, well, not really, because we need to get reimbursed by Medicare for it. And, again, we found out that it costs too much for us to handle that kind of money just to put it on the shelf to get reimbursement. So we decided just to sell it through our website.
Okay. Now, obviously, they're talking about they want a kickback from Medicare. Is it possible if you could have given them maybe $5 per box, you know, their cut, you know, because they ain't doing nothing? But
that's true. They just put it on their shelf. But, again, you know, it may take shelf space or anything like that. So what we've done in exchange for that, we said to them, I said, look, tell people about us. We have a brochure, flyers, and all of that. And we said, can we leave it there? So one of the stores said, yeah, that's not a problem. And so we left it there. We told them, look, we'll make arrangements there. If we give it to them and we find out that you guys recommended us, then we'll give you something in return. But as of today, we haven't had not one response. So I don't know if the guys over there took it off the shelf and forget about it or what. I don't know what they did, but we're pursuing other areas that we're going to try to market to. Because the thing that I want to let your listeners know is that you got to determine how large your market is. You know, some people think, well, you know, my market is only a few thousand people, so I'll sell to them. Well, what they forget to understand is that the money they have to put up to get the product is going to be a lot more of that cost rather than the return and them trying to sell it for a profit. So, you know, we go into a lot of great detail to help our members get through all the journeys that they have to travel through to be successful.
Well, you know, it's a shame that there has to be blocks put on everything, because you would think, as it is, it's bad enough we got to deal with high cost of prescriptions, you know, or they don't have what we need that's convenient. And then when someone come along with something that's phenomenal, then it's blocked because everybody ain't got their hand in the cookie jar and it's not their invention. I'm not understanding that.
Listen, you know, we tried to figure that out a long time ago, and it all comes down to the almighty dollar. That's what it all comes down to. Everybody want their hands in it. And not only the pharmacists, but everybody else, when it comes to manufacturing and shipping and all that, they want a piece of it. They want a piece of it. And, you know, it chops into you receiving either royalties or you receiving profit from the product. And, you know, it eats it all up. So it's really hard that people got their hands in everything.
Well, I hope one day soon that somebody in a hospital feel the need to create something like that. And when they go to try to put their stamp on it, realize that it's already yours and they got to come to you, you know, because this is ridiculous. This is
straight
crazy.
Well, I'm hoping they do, because I can use that money. I definitely can use the money.
Yeah, because you need money to keep making product, you know. So people don't understand it. But people that know you personally, if y'all out there begging, say, hey, Michael, can I have one of those? I had a problem. No. You might be friends, but come on now. Dig in your pockets. Bust out a check, credit card, or something, you know, because people are always begging when you got a product and they trying to use that friend thing. Say, well, you know, I'm your friend, and you know, referrals is the best word of mouth. Yeah, but, you know, be a friend, pay for the item, you know, and then refer it, you know, to whoever you know, because if I keep giving away my product, I'm not going to have no money.
That's true. That's true. But you know what we do? We tell people, particularly our members, say, look, if you can recommend two or three people, and they joined the association, then, hey, I'll give you one of the products. You know, I have no problems with doing that because, obviously, we get more people to purchase and we get more members to come on board. So we definitely put the word out on that.
That sounds good, Michael. Yeah, I do know that you have another invention that you want to talk about tonight.
Yes, well, it's not my invention. I'll tell you a little bit about the organization because, again, we are a nonprofit organization. So we're about educating and teaching people about the inventing journey. Now, people always ask us, well, how are you different from all these Internet companies? I said very simply, they're in the business to make a profit, okay? We are in the business of helping people, saving money, and helping them get their product into the marketplace. That's what we do. And we've had a couple of inventors that have come through our organization and got products out there. And the one that I really want to talk about is our most recent one, which I think has a bigger potential market. And this gentleman, his product is called Master Caddy Golf Kit. Now, if any of you golfers are out there, understand that when you're golfing, you have to carry a bag with golf clubs in it. And that bag usually runs between 20 to 40 pounds. So what that does is, you can imagine, that puts a lot of strain and pain on your back and on your shoulders. And looking at some of the statistics, there's a lot of golfers, particularly golfers who do a lot of walking and carrying their golf bags, have a lot of injuries because of that. And what he has come up with is one that has your golf clubs on a rack that you pull. It's a very ingenious type of product that has come out, and it's amazing. And I'll tell you a little bit of history on him. He has his own personal business involving archery, and he came up with this idea because him and his son are golfers, and they realized the potential of a product that he wanted to create. So he had some prototypes that he made, which he was able to show me what it looked like. So I says, well, great. I'm not a golfer, but I could tell you there's millions of golfers out there. You can imagine, you know, the Tiger Woods crowd, the local tournament crowds, the female organizations that are filled with women golfers. So the market is huge. We're talking about several million golfers. So its potential is large, very large. So as a member of our association, he was able to, and get this, he was able to, back in late March, go to an audition for Shark Tank. And lo and behold, they had over thousands of people. This was in Texas. Thousands of people lined up to show their product to the Shark Tank people. And as you know, they only had a certain amount of time to review all of these products that these people brought. So as you know, they give you 1 minute to give you a spiel about your product. So to go through 1,800 or more people that were there, they would look at the product, listen to your name, and then they would say next, 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 trying to go through all these people in the shortest amount of time. But for him, they spent 5 minutes talking to him. They loved, they loved his product. So right now he has been in communications with the Shark Tank people. He has been able to go ahead and send them the information that they're requiring. And, of course, you know, they want your whole life history. They want to know if you're in bankruptcy or anything like that. But he's very clear. He's got his own business, so he's good to go on that part. But they also wanted a video. Now, our organization prepared the video for him, and he sent that along to Shark Tank people. So right now we're trying to wait for them to respond again to see what the next phase is and get him on the show. So we're very excited about him and his product, and we think this will be a gold mine for him.
That's wonderful, Michael. Well, tell people out there, if they're in the Columbus, Alabama border or Phoenix City area, what does it take to become a member of your association?
Well, that's very easy to do. I mean, for example, we only charge $47 a year, and what that gets them is an opportunity, if they're close by, to attend our monthly meetings. We have free workshops for non-members as well as members. And, of course, with our members group, we give them some specific information about how to continue in their journey, because sometimes they run into roadblocks and they don't know how to get through those roadblocks. And we have the experience to know what they need to do to get through that. So we talk about that. We also have a monthly newsletter that we send out every month to our members, giving them information about the expos that are coming up, talk about the new laws involving patents that are coming up, any additional information about how to talk to an investor, how to talk to anybody. For example, if I wanted to tell you my product, there is a way to tell you what it is without telling you what it is. And we teach people how to go about doing that.
Being secretive?
Well, oh, yeah, because if I tell you without any protection, then you can run away with my product, and then I'm going to have to come and kill you. So I don't want to do that. So
okay,
what we do is we we have what they call a NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement, which has been legally approved, which allows you to tell a person about your product. And then we have another NDA that protects you when you talk to a manufacturing company, because usually the first person you talk to is usually maybe a salesperson or a manager. But what they will do is they will in turn give it to the employees to produce. So if you don't have the protection for the employee, then you're out of luck. So we have this information that protects the entire company. So that's one of the things that we provide to our members. There's also other things that members need to do to get their products moving along the line, because you do need a prototype. And if you don't know how to get a prototype, then we teach you how to do that. Because we have professional business people that are members of our association that provides their services at a substantial discount, including all the way to our registered patent attorney. So we have everything in place for anyone who has an idea, even if it's in their mind, to get it out of there, down on paper, into a 3D application, and into a what they call an STL file. That file is so very important, because that's what a manufacturing company uses to make the prototype. Because without it, they can't make it. So they use this file. So we have, again, business people who have businesses that provide these services to our members at a substantial discount.
Well, I have a question. Way back in the day, I had invented this portable chess set. And I maxed up all my credit cards. I used up all the money I had in the bank, and I had like $1,000 more that I needed to go to a trade show. And I asked my family, and like most families do, they don't believe in your dream because they know you growing up, and so they know that since you're a clown and you are like you act funny and stuff, that you can't be smart enough to dream up something. You know, it has to be someone else. And a lot of people's dreams go by the wayside. And I know that for a fact that someone stole my idea, because it's out there on the market now. So how long would you have your information in a patent office for someone else to look it over and see that it's dormant and they can steal it from under you? I'm sure somebody would want to know that information.
Oh, absolutely. It depends on what was filed. Okay, for example, what the patent office does, the USPTO office does, is they allow you to file the first type of patent, which is called a provisional patent. Now, a provisional patent gives you protection for 1 year only, 365 days only. And they do that for a reason, because they want people to know, if they're going to be serious, that they put out this money, that they are going to be serious about looking into whether or not their product is going to be successful, and if they want what they call a utility patent or a non-provisional patent, that is good for 20 years. But the one-year one, which is the provisional, allows you to do it for 1 year. So what is crucial during that 1 year is you have to have things in place. You got to have a 3D drawing, a 3D file, to make a prototype. Now, we have a university that works with us, depending on the size of the prototype, because they have a floor model 3D printer. All right, we have a small tabletop one, so it depends on the size. And they will make the prototype. So once you have the prototype in place, then you get the protection so that you can tell and show people what it is, and that's when you get your provisional. Now, during that time, you should be out there trying to market your product, to show the world your product, get or take orders of your product, because obviously you don't have it all together yet, but you can take orders. So you do all of that during the one-year period. Now, once you do that, before the 365 days is up, at that point, if you find that you are serious about it, you're dedicated about it, you want to move forward, then that's when you get a registered patent attorney. Now, I say registered because it's very crucial. 85% of all patents that are submitted, as far as the application goes, is rejected. And the reason why it's rejected is because I had an opportunity to go visit the USPTO office for 2 days. And I spoke to a lot of executives, a lot of the examiners. And what they're telling me is that when they look at these applications, every day these examiners have to look at over 100 applications a day.
Wow.
No way in the world are they going to be reading every single application completely and do 100 or more a day. It's impossible. So what they do is they have their own software, and what they do is they plug in some keywords. Now, if those keywords are similar to what's already out there, bang, it's rejected. So what happens?
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to fight with the USPTO, and the only person that is able to fight effectively is the registered patent attorney, because they have the experience to know how to fight. They've dealt with that office several times already, so they know the ins and outs of getting a patent through. Now, if you go out and get the local attorney down the block in the storefront, he may not know how to fight. So if he doesn't know how to fight, your chances of not getting it through are probably zero. So that's why these are the type of things that we teach people, to make sure that they get the proper help that they need to get it through. Now, what I would suggest...
I'm sorry, go ahead, Michael.
What I would suggest is that, and we have had this happen, many of members that come through us as an after effect. And what I mean by that is they never heard of us, so they go onto the Internet and they talk with these companies on the Internet. And we've had several members that have come back and told us that they paid over $10,000 to get a nice book, to get a nice book that contains graphs, a lot of statistics, a lot of drawings, and that's it.
What I, and nothing. That's what I got. And the book was had a leather book. It was leather, gold letterings, and had everything inside it. And looked at all, wow, you know, this proves I'm going somewhere. And I spent all that I had and wound up with nothing. I was down to $1,000. And at some point, I started to believe that maybe it is jerking my chain, because every time I turn around, it's more money, more money, more money.
Well, that's what they do. They get you paying up front the $10,000, and they give you in return this book. But they also say, if you want to go further, then we have other companies that you can talk to, but those companies are going to charge you more money. So obviously the people that come to us, they don't have a lot of money to spend and throw away. And when they come to us, they realize that a lot of things that they pay for, we can show them how to get it for free. Quote, free, F-R-E-E, for free.
Man, wonderful.
And that's what we have helped a lot of members do that.
Well, let me ask you this. When people come to your organization and they have a product, being realistic, for them to get it with their lawyer who knows about patents, to really figure out getting their stuff, you know, patent and on the street, what's a ballpark figure, and could that person pay in installments?
Sure. Well, Because another thing that we do, to answer your question, another thing that we do is we prepare and we submit the provisional application. Our association does, okay? Because the cost, on the average right now, it costs $181 to file, to create the application and to submit it to the USPTO. Now, the USPTO, they charge $65. So we're talking 181 plus 65, and that's all they pay for a provisional patent, which is good for 1 year. Now, if they go to an attorney is going to charge them several thousand dollars. Yeah. All right, so that's the benefit of becoming a member in our organization. Now, after the year or before the year is up and you want to proceed with the utility patent, or another word for that, they call it non-provisional patent, that runs, depending on how lengthy the product is, runs between $3,000 to $5,000, and it could go up to $15,000 depending on what the product is, because if it requires a lot of wiring and motors and intricacies, you know, all of that stuff, then of course the price will go up. But the attorney that we have is a registered patent attorney. He is a member. He actually has a printout of what his costs are. A lot of attorneys will say, well, it's going to cost you this, but when you get with them, you find out it's going to cost you more. Our attorney does not do that, because we did our due diligence on our attorneys and all of our business members to make sure they provide excellent service for our members. And that's one of the benefits of becoming a member, for us to put all this total package together for our folks.
Well, Michael, we need to take a small break, but anybody who would like to talk to Michael, don't be a bashful. I'll see you on the switchboard. Go ahead, hit the one key. And for other ones who don't know, dial 347-945-6003. Once you hit the one key, it allows me to know that you want to speak, because this show is live, you know. But you can stay back there in the cut and just listen and get all this good information. But we'll be back in two and two to continue this conversation about inventors and his association. Stand by.
Hi, this is Dwayne Sternholm, founder of the United Earth Ecclesia. The UEE, or UEs, is the next generation of internet networking dedicated to the co-creation of the greatest and highest good. I'd like to invite you to join me, authoress Terry, and her co-host Mark as founding members of UEs at xlo.org. As a free founding member, you can contribute your ideas, suggestions, and votes on how we can work together to improve our planet. XLO is short for Exclamation of Love. Share our XLOs in this unprecedented effort of internet global democracy with ethics and integrity. We need you to help us co-create a better world. Thank you for your consideration, time, and ideas. What kind of world do you wish to live in? Check it out at exlo.org. Be
one. I want to know your name. I could. On the phone, 'cause you're life.
I
you just look like something I can settle down with. Let me introduce myself. My name is Lil Sonny. I drive a little red Volkswagen. I like to go horseback riding. I like all kind of sweets, cupcakes, crepes, and things like that. This is why I can't help but notice you. Just a jazzy, jazzy old baby. Come on, can I have this dance? Something as groovy as this, we got to dance. Lord have mercy. Am I holding you too tight? I'm sorry, excuse me. I ain't gonna get too close. When are you gonna tell me your name? Please tell me your name. I'm just gonna have to grab you and hold you a little closer. I just got to. Lord, have mercy. Saturday afternoon, perhaps we'll go in town, have a little bite to eat, and then maybe go and take in a little movie, and afterwards, I'll just drop you at the doorstep, and give you a little kiss. Oh, I just, so many things that we could do if you tell me your name. I'm not even married. Are you mad? Girl, you gotta tell me your name. Just wait a minute. Don't leave out the door. Don't leave me. Let's just tell me.
Well, welcome back to Unmasked with Authoress Terry Lyle. And I took you way back in the time with that one. That was by the Intruders. I want to know your name. Now, for some of y'all who don't know that song, I'm sure you might have heard your parents playing it around the house, but that was one of those songs when they go to the clubs and they get all close and everything. Yes, man, they was making it do what it do. I want to know your name. But anyway, get back to my guest, Michael Turner, president and CEO of the Inventions Association, but the whole title is Columbus Phoenix Inventors Association. All right, Michael?
Yeah, Columbus Phoenix City Inventors Association. Yes.
Okay. And if you write it in your web browser, make sure you spell Phoenix Phoenix. It's not like Arizona. It don't have an O in it. And before we got to a break, I want to ask you a question, Michael.
Sure.
For people who started in the process of making an invention and it didn't go no further, the time ran out because they ran out of money or whatever the case may be, how could someone else come along and go through different pending patents that time is running out, that year thing, where they can just jump on it and take it the rest of the way because the other person has sunk all their money into it? So how can they jump on a bandwagon without spending a lot of money and taking somebody's idea across the finish line?
Well, you know, our motto is procrastination is the killer of all dreams. And we came up with that motto because we found out that, just like you said, a lot of our members in the past had a great idea, but I guess was their attention was drawn to someplace else, and they just let it go. And it could have been a good product because after a while, we've seen one of their ideas already in the stores. So I think what happens is that when the time expires after the 365 days, if you take no action, then your product is no longer protected, which means after you've told a lot of people about it, you showed a lot of people about it, if they understand the inventing process, all they need to do is wait a year and a year and one day, and they can take your product and steal it from you, and there's nothing you can do. So
wow.
That's why it's important to have everything, all the ducks in a row, before you actually file for a provisional patent, and then that's when the work really begins. So we have to make sure that all that's done before you do the provisional, and then when you hit the provisional, then that's when the road gets rough. You got to go out there and try to sell it, market it, take orders, do whatever you can to drum up interest. And if you feel that there's enough interest out there, then go ahead and file for your utility patent. But one of the things that I could tell you that we've tried to do is that is with some of our members, obviously, you know, they have let it expire. And then next thing you know, they got an epiphany and say, oh, okay, well, let me get this thing going. And then next thing you know, they realize that it's expired. So they ask us, can they refile? Well, the answer is yes and no. You can refile, but you're taking a chance that somebody else didn't beat you to the punch. Because in 2014, they came up with a new process called first to file, which means that, for example, you and I, Terry, we worked together on a particular product. And during that time, something happens between you and I, you know, you get me ticked off and I don't want to work with you anymore.
Right.
And I go and take it and invent it and get a provisional and then get a utility patent, then it's all mine. Even though you and I worked on it together, it's the first to file. So then you'll be out of luck. Get all the money, all the moolah, and you get nothing.
Mm-hmm. I'll be coming knocking your door.
Yeah, so that's why it's so important. That if you work with somebody, you got to draw up some kind of agreement. So if it doesn't work out between the two of you, then at least you have something in writing that if I happen to put it out there and get my invention on the market, that I have some kind of recourse in terms of reaping some of the profits.
So realistically speaking, if somebody had a good idea, what's a ballpark figure they need to have in reserve, whether it's in a bank or in credit cards, to take it to the next stage after that 365-day provision to the next stage, including that, how much would you think a ballpark figure would do if they came through you and your organization to get something out there?
Well, that's kind of hard to say, and I'm going to tell you why. For people who don't know Columbus, Phoenix City, we're in Columbus, Georgia, and Phoenix City, Alabama. All right, so we have both states that we're working with. We also have people that our members are in other states as well, like Virginia. We have two members that are in the state of Florida. And we also have one that is in the military. And we're working with her through Skype, email, and texting. So we can reach, you know, a lot of folks in a lot of different states. So we're just not isolated between Columbus, Georgia, and Phoenix City. But the thing that we suggest is that people really consider whether or not they want to go ahead and do their invention, because there's some money involved. Nothing is free. So we tell them up front, before you even become a member, go ahead and do your research. And if you don't find nothing, well, then come back to us and then let us do research, because we have extensive software and websites that we go to do a more in-depth search on a product. And once we find out that it is or isn't, you know, we come back to the member and tell them, look, you know, your product is already out there. I'm sorry. You're going to have to come up with something else. But in terms of the cost, there are free programs, what we call pro bono programs. And right now, I know that it's in the state of Georgia, and it's in the state of Alabama. And what this pro bono program does, it provides free legal services to file your patent, your provisional patent. And as you know, when you file a non-provisional patent, it's going to cost you several thousand dollars through an attorney. Now, these pro bono programs consist of attorneys. They worked out some kind of agreement with the state to provide this free service. So to answer your question, if they go through this service, they don't have to pay anything. They will get their patent through this service. So that's one thing. There's another program that will provide you with, and it's an online company, that will put you through several stages, and there's actually seven stages that you have to go through with them in order for them to take over the manufacturing, to get it in the stores and all of that, and you sit back and get royalties. Now, each of these steps you have to go through, they will tell you at each step whether or not you passed and go on to the second step. And the only thing that they require you to pay up front is a $25 application fee. So if you're able to pass all these seven steps, then everything else is free and you sit back and get royalties. And basically, Terry, many, if not all of our members, that's what they want, is royalties. They don't want to get into production, to have inventory. They don't want all that. They just want to sit back and get a check.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the route they're taking. So we had those programs available to our members. So, again, you know, we're all about education. And speaking of education, we are, for the last 3 years, have been involved in our county school district system. They have a science fair that they put on every year with the middle and high school students. And our organization is sponsor of this event, along with the local university here in town. And every year they have about between 80 to 125 student projects that are on display. Now, our members only chooses three that have patent potential. And we as an organization, we have a committee that decides on, after looking at all of the 80 to 125 projects, we decide on three, and we decide which one gets first, second, and third prize winners. And once the one place winner comes up, what they receive is a lot of prizes from our local stores like Target, Walmart, Sears, and a lot of the restaurants like Red Lobster, O'Charley's, and a few others that provide gifts and prizes to these winners. So we're very involved in making sure that we go into the schools, talk to the students, give them some ideas about what kind of problems that they could solve with products, and work with the teacher to see if we can do anything else in terms of maybe getting a little prototype made so they can display it at the science fair and all of that. So we're very involved in the educational side of our students because they are our future leaders. And we have some bright, bright students that are out there.
That's wonderful. So have y'all had the science fair already for this year? Because I know schools are getting ready to be out today. I think it's the last day in Columbus, Georgia. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm not sure. The graduation, well, yes, it is. As a matter of fact, we did one graduation at the Academy in Columbus, Georgia 2 days ago. So I think the major schools are just I guess, wrapping up or having their graduation ceremonies. But the science fair was held back in February. And it's usually held every year in February. And they have it on display at the local university. And we choose our own winners, whereby the schools, you know, they choose all their other winners. And we provide trophies and plaques and all of that. And back in May, which is beginning of this month, we were able to... Yeah, those are the dates here. But back in May, which is May the 2nd, every year we present the student winners in front of the mayor and the council members. And they proclaim May 5th as Student Innovation Day. And, of course, you know, the parents and the teachers come up and they meet the mayor and the council members and all of that. So we allow the students to talk about their product and what school they're from and so forth. So the kids get some enjoyment out of it as well.
That's wonderful, Michael. I'm glad to see that y'all are giving back because it's often that, you know, people are in their own little bubble doing their own little thing. But you know something, you're right, the kids, man, if we don't groom them to be our predecessors, you know, what we're going to do? You know?
That's right.
So I have a question for you. Now,
yes.
Your members, how are they doing now as far as in growth since you first started in this field?
Well, they're doing good. As a matter of fact, we have, just for, as an example, we have a gentleman who's already got his utility patent, and his patent is on, I forgot the name of it, but it is a, you know, the water pitchers that you put water in and pour it out of a pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he has a four compartment inside a water pitcher. So what that does is, for example, if you got a lot of kids who like soda, water, juice, in each of those compartments, you can put the fluid in that, and you're able to turn it where the spout is and pour it into the kid's cup. And the other thing he mentioned to me, I think it was last year, he had even given it to some of the waitresses in a restaurant. Because as you know, when you go to a restaurant, a waitress, you ask for water, and then they come to the table. Now someone else wants soda. Then someone else wants tea. Well, they have all that in this one container. And from my understanding, he's doing very well with that. So, you know, we're pleased to see that he's got his product going.
That is so strange because it makes sense. And it's so simplistic. And you wonder why I didn't think about that. Well, you didn't think about that. It's like a lazy Susan. Just put your little stuff in your section. And, you know, that's cool because that does make sense, and it's so simplistic. You wonder why? How come I didn't think about that?
That's so true. Because, you know, Terry, nothing out here is brand new. Everything out here is a modification of what is already out there. And if you can come up with a different look, a different type of material, you can patent it. It's just like what they do with, what is it, the Oscars. When you see on TV the Oscars, the ladies have all these $1,000 dresses with diamonds, rubies, and all that on there.
Right.
Well, a couple of weeks, a couple of months later, you're going to see it in the stores for $200. It may not look exactly the same. It may not have rhinestones. It may have, what, zirconium? Is that the cheap one?
Yeah, but it's close enough.
Right, and they're able to get away with that. That's what they call a design patent. That's a totally different patent altogether. We don't do, we don't have experience in design patents, but our attorneys does, but we don't. So we focus more on provisional patents, copyrights, and doing searches and creating videos. That's what we do as an association. But that's what they do. I mean, you can create anything as long as you change it and then patent it, and then you're good to go.
Amen. So I want you to give everybody out there listening your website again, your phone number, the cost, you know, and also let them know you don't have to live in this area. Y'all can connect via Skype or, you know, on Facebook on that Messenger icon thing. So a lot of ways they can connect, and it's free because Skype is free and Messenger video is free as well on Facebook.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, our military lady, we Skype all the time to get our product going. But our website is www.cpcinventorsassociation.org. And our phone number is 706-225-9587. And we can be reached at any time during the week and even on weekends. Because we're about helping people. So just give us a call, send us an email, whatever it is that you want to do, just get with us and we can help you through whatever process you're going into with a product. Even if you have it just in your mind, we can get it out of there and we can proceed with getting it on paper and also into an actual physical product.
Yeah, so one of the main things you can help it put it in 3D, because you said that university has a big scanner, you know, so that's good. You got a lot of resources, people, you know, you need to get with Michael because he will put you on the right track. And also, what was the fee to become a member?
It's only $47, and that's
that
a year. And you can go on our website, click on the benefits link, and you can even sign up there at our secure website.
That's wonderful. Well, Michael, we're going to wrap this up a little early this evening. Is there anything else that you would like to share, or is there any personal shout-outs you'd like to give? This is your opportunity. You're not rushed, but anything else you want to share about any of your other clients that you have now that's got something coming out soon to look out for? Or?
Well, yes, but what I do want to share is back in January, we had an opportunity to meet Damon John. And if you know Damon John, he is the creator of FUBU, and he's also one of the investors on Shark Tank. He was able to come into town and talk to the community, but we were given special invitation to speak with him one-on-one, and we spent about 45 minutes with him, and he was answering a lot of questions, telling us about him, his background, how he got started, how to talk to investors, and all of that. And because we videotaped that, we have that available for sale on our website as well for people who just want to see what he has to say. And the other thing that we do have on our website is that people who can't make our meetings or are too far away, we have a do-it-yourself publication that's also available on our website. So if you want to learn how to do it all yourself from soup to nuts, you can go to our website and you can purchase that, which is very inexpensive. I think it's like 20 or 25 bucks, and you can do it all yourself. So we have everything available for anybody, because I don't want anybody to not see their dreams come alive. Because they have an idea, we can help you make it alive and real. So, Terry, I appreciate you allowing me the time to speak to your audience, and hopefully we can help some of them become a success.
Yes, and when you get one of your guys or females make it that million, come on, bring that million up on a thing and let them share their story from rags to riches.
I tell you, if we ever come up with a product for a female, I think it'll be more profitable than my product. So we're still working on it.
We spend a lot of money.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Terry. Really appreciate you having us on.
Michael, I so appreciate you, and I'm glad because my audience got an opportunity to learn some things, because I'm sure, like me and a lot of people, every now and then something will come across your mind. I said, Dad, I wish that should be an item to create or whatever, and they don't know how to go about doing it. So y'all heard the information, and if you didn't get it correctly, go to the archives on Unmask and pull it back up. This show about let your inventions make money for you and get the information. Call Michael, because they will steer you in the right direction. And I just want to say thank you, Michael, for spending the time with me tonight. And I want to wish my co-host, Mark Anthony Real in California, darling, feel better, because I miss you being on the air with me. And like I said, Michael, you can always come back, because once you've been here, this is home. If something new is coming down the pike and you want to discuss it, just give me a call and we'll put you up on the show.
Thank you so much, Terry. I appreciate it.
And you have a beautiful day, darling, and a safe weekend.
All right, you too now. Take care.
Good night.
You're listening to authoress Terry E. Lyle's Blog Talk Radio. It's the interview that pays to listen to, with the honest, candid truth in your face.